everybody, and welcome to this week's NPL show, the official radio show for the Northern Premier League. I'm Ben, and down the other end of the phone for this opening gambit of the show, we should be joined by Mr. Northern Premier League, in brackets, social media officer himself. It's James Hayes, everybody. Hello, James. How are they?
Afternoon, Ben. How are you doing? It's been a while since I've said that.
I know. This is like the old school show. I'm pretty sure we're going to be back at a football ground near you sometime soon. But we've gone a bit old school this week. Also coming up on this week's show, we're obviously going to be talking about the FA Cup as well as the smattering of league games that's been taking place over the last 7 days or so. We're also going to be joined by Liam King at Gainsborough Trinity. Neil Toof is back in the building, everybody, at Sutton Coldfield Town. Steve Cunningham at Colne and Basford United. Steve Chettle will be coming on the show. And later, we're going to be joined by Yorkshire Coast Radio's very own, it's Mr. Andrew Snaith, with a fixture preview. But James, to kick things off, let's talk about the FA Cup. Lots of results to talk about from Saturday afternoon, and we'll go through those results now. Firstly, commiserations to Pickering Town. They were beaten by 1874 Northwich. Very unlucky that for Pickering Town being drawn against 1874 Northwich. They're one of the pick of the Northwest Counties and Step 5 sides, I feel, this season. So, difficult that one. Banbury United 2, Gainsborough Trinity 2. Gordon there with a 90th minute penalty for Banbury United to take that to a replay. And I can happily report that in that replay, Gainsborough Trinity were successful. Kingsley James on 48 minutes for the Lincolnshire side, getting the goal, the all-important goal. It finished Gainsborough Trinity 1, Banbury United 0. Gainsborough going through to the next round. And on Friday afternoon, I caught up with a manager at Gainsborough Trinity. Here's Liam King. Liam, a big thank you for joining us and a big congratulations for getting through to the second qualifying round. Banbury United have been superb thus far this season. And what's your take on the result?
Obviously, when we got the draw, we looked here and we thought it's a tricky one. They're a tough side to beat, Banbury, and it's obviously great to get into the next round. I mean, we played them at their place. Well documented, their dubious decision that cost us at the end of the game. And then we got back on Tuesday and finished the job off. So, really, really obviously happy for the club because it's it was a tough draw and we were in the next round.
I mean, it's a proper punch in the stomach. What happened to you on the Saturday? I mean, you've been generous there, so I'm not going to get involved in any questioning decisions or anything like that. But it must have been a tough job to try and pick up the players after that. So how did you do it? How did you go about it?
Well, we seem to still have that fire in the bellies, ready for the next round and ready for the next game. Because, like you said, it can work. It can work the other way. That could leave him. Obviously, that decision, it can sometimes just completely take it out of you. But we fair play to the lads. They turned up and performed just as well on Tuesday and deserved the win. So, yeah, it was obviously devastating, but it was a quick turnaround and we're just pleased we're in the next round now.
And hopefully it'll be, it's a bit of a springboard as well, because the league campaign, I mean, I'm an FC United fan, so I'm not one to talk, but it's been a bit of a sluggish start, hasn't it, for a fair few big clubs down the bottom end. I mean, what do you make of it?
Yeah, obviously it's been a slow start. I'd obviously got beat by Lancaster, which was a poor performance from us, and everybody knows that. But the other games, we've actually played well. We've just not come away with anything in some games, so it's like you said, it's fine lines this level. It seems to be really, obviously the league's really competitive, and I think it'll constantly change all season. To be honest, it'll take a while for it to get any consistency, I think. But like you said, there's some really good teams in this league now, which is starting to show in the table.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what is your target? Because obviously last season was one of those years, really. It just didn't really click, did it, for Gainsborough? But you were up at the top end all the way through. So what is the target this year, considering...
The target is to get in the top end of the table and see where it takes us. Yeah, we'd love to get in the playoffs. That's obviously me and Ross will always want to be successful. So that's our target. But the chairman's not put lots of pressure on us. He just wants us to finish in that top half of the table and get in them playoffs, hopefully. So, like I said, it's we're hoping we do well, but we've got to obviously start picking up more points than we have been doing now, and hopefully that result on Tuesday will springboard us now. Because, like you said, the squad, what we've got, the first half of the season, we've not got what we've deserved yet, but it's not about that, it's about results. So let's hopefully we can get something tomorrow at Witten, which will be a really tough place to go.
Yeah, so I was going to mention the Witten game, because like you say, I mean, Witten's had a decent start this season. They're going to be very competitive, I think. So what's your take on this fixture tomorrow?
Yeah, it's a tough game. Witten away, played in it lots of times. Witten away is always a hard place to go, and it'll be a physical side, and we've got to be on our game. We've got to be up for that battle, because that's what it usually is at Witten away. So obviously we've prepared as normal, and hopefully we're going to have a positive result tomorrow.
And then you've got Rushall away. Rushall, old friends of this show, that's going to be a tough game as well.
Yeah, it's another tough draw, but like I said, we'll go and watch them there playing Tuesday. And like we did with Banbury, we travelled down to Peterborough to watch them on the Tuesday and see what we're going to do. And like I said, it is a tough fixture, but if you want to do well in the FA Cup, you've got to get through these tough fixtures. So we're hoping we can go away next week and then get in the hat again for Monday. So that's the aim.
Liam King there, manager at Gainsborough Trinity. Good result that, James, for Gainsborough, wasn't it?
Yeah, especially with the opposition you had as well. Banbury flying high in the Southern League at this moment in time.
Also going through, and fantastic stuff, this. Grant Black's Belper Town. We obviously heard from Grant Black on the Step 4 show last week, taking on Alva Church, and Charles Dawes there with an 87th minute winner for the Derbyshire side. That's brilliant, isn't it, James?
Yeah, and again, just proving their worth as well, a little bit in the South East section at this moment in time, just outside the playoffs, unbeaten so far.
And in the next round of the FA Cup, they'll be hosting Andrew Simpson's Witten Albion, and Cal McCauley, obviously. Witten Albion, a big banana skin, that one, for Cal McCauley's side. That's going to be a very tough game. Also in the FA Cup, on Saturday afternoon, Chasetown 1, Staveley Miners Welfare 0. George Cater there with a 7th-minute winner in that game. So Chasetown going through to the next round. A big congratulations to them. Chasetown will be travelling to Leamington. That's tough, isn't it? Blimey. FC United 2, Atherton Coles 2. That was a very odd game. In fact, well, it was a very blood and guts cup tie towards the end of that match. But either side could have won it, but it went to a replay. FC United winning that replay on Tuesday night by 1-0. That sets up a home time for FC United in the second qualifying round. Tie of the round, I'm going to suggest, James. They're taking on Warrington Town. City, Liverpool, very, very unlucky in the first game. As Warrington Town 2, City of Liverpool 2. Josh Amos getting a 90th minute equaliser for the Cheshire side to take it to replay. And then Warrington, in that replay, beat City of Liverpool on Merseyside by 4-0. So they made Warrington work for it, didn't they, City of Liverpool?
They have indeed, but Warrington's away form's been still unbeaten at this moment in time in the season too.
Also going through to the next round is Pontefract Coles. They beat Glossop North End by 3-1. And next up for Pontefract will be an interesting game. They'll be taking on Ashton United at Hurst Cross. Ashton United were made to work for it, weren't they, by Tadcaster Albion on Saturday afternoon. Tadcaster Albion 2, Ashton United 2. Connor Hughes getting the all-important equaliser for the Tamesiders. And then in the replay midweek, back at Hurst Cross, it finished Ashton United 4, Tadcaster Albion 2. Tadcaster went 1-0 up in that game, didn't they? And then tough game, that one, for Tadcaster. Ashley United through, and Ashley United, like we said, will be hosting Pontefract Coles.
Yeah, I mean, Ashley United, first win of the season now, and I think it's something that they needed
Yes, and also going through to the second qualifying round is Kidsgrove Athletic. They beat Cleethorpes Town, also of this parish, by 2-1. Kidsgrove in the second qualifying round will be travelling to Derbyshire to take on Matlock Town. Matlock Town beat Basford United on Saturday by 2-1. And as we were saying last week, I think in the preview show, you know, Matlock Town have had a great start to the season, and there's no reason why that can't be transferred to an FA Cup run under Steve Kittrick. So Matlock Town through, taking on Kidsgrove, who are also through to the next round. Lancaster City had to work to get through to the next round. They drew 0-0 with Northwich Victoria on Saturday afternoon. However, in the replay on Wednesday night, it finished Northwich Victoria 1, Lancaster City 2. David Norris there getting the 2 goals for Lancaster City to take them through to the next round. For Lancaster City, they'll be hosting Spennymoor Town, blimey, at the Giant Axe. I've got a memory of Lancaster City taking on Darlington. They did take on Darlington and Kidderminster. They did quite well against the pair of them, didn't they? I think that's right.
And again, the fact it's going to be the Giant Axe, not just looking at the first couple of games this season, but this end of last year, another place they're starting to turn into a fortress. So,
well, also going through, we've got Loughborough Dynamo. They beat Heather St. John's by 1-0. So a professional outcome there for Loughborough. They'll be taking on Tamworth. Tamworth relegated out of step two last season. I've got that right, haven't I? Or was it the season before? It was the season before, wasn't it? Tamworth currently sitting eighth in the Central League. So a tough game, that one, for Loughborough Dynamo. But it's a home game, and that could be crucial. Also going through, Ramsbottom United, they beat Maltby Main by 5-1. So next up for Ramsbottom will be an away trip to Gateshead. It feels like we're already in the fourth qualifying round, some of these matches. They do feel a bit harsh. So Gateshead hosting our very own Ramsbottom United in the second qualifying round. So a big congratulations to Rammy on making it through. Also going through, Morpeth Town, they beat Hyde United by 3-1. Given how good Hyde United have been recently, that's a great result, that, for Nick Gray's side.
Yeah, especially the fact, as we were saying last week as well, the fact that they've lost Ben Sayer. Coming off a bit of a bad form again at the same time in the league. It takes a scalp like Hyde at this early season, the way that Hyde have been playing, and watching them play on Tuesday night as well. Great result there.
So Morpeth Town will be travelling to Bradford Park Avenue in the second qualifying round. So
very winnable, that.
Yeah, very winnable. Very winnable. But tough as well at the same time. It's some tough draws in the second qualifying round for our sides, that's for sure. Nantwich Town successfully navigated themselves through to the next round. They beat Grantham Town by 3-1. For Nantwich Town, next up for them in the FA Cup will be an away trip to the new Buck's Head to take on AFC Telford United. Also going through, Buxton, they beat our old friends Romulus 4-0. And just what the doctor ordered, that one for Buxton, given recent results.
Yeah, I think that's, had that result gone another way, I think we'd be talking a little bit different about Buxton at this moment in time. But a win that they needed.
Buxton will be hosting Corby Town in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. So that's a good tie, that one, for Buxton. We mentioned Rushall Olympic. They got through by beating our very own Sheffield FC. So commiserations to Sheffield. Scarborough Athletic 1, Marske United 1. Matthew Waters there scoring an equaliser right on the full-time whistle to take that one to a replay on Tuesday night. Couldn't follow it up on Tuesday night. It finished Marske United 1, Scarborough Athletic 2. Andrew Stevenson for Marske scoring a goal after the second minute to take the lead in that one. James Walshaw getting an equaliser, and then Asenso scoring with 9 minutes left to take Scarborough through to the second qualifying round. Scarborough in the next round will be travelling to Southport. Tough game there at Hague Avenue for Scarborough. Also through, Witton Albion, as we mentioned earlier, Witton Albion beat CM Red Star by 1-0 in the northeast. Billy Smart there scoring a goal in the 8th minute. And then result of the round, I'm going to suggest South Shields 0, Colne 0. And in the replay, blimey, Colne 1, South Shields 0. It's absolutely superb stuff there from Steve Cunningham's side. And on Friday, I caught up with the manager at Colne, Here he is, talking about that result there against South Shields in the first qualifying round of the FA Cup. Steve, a big thank you for joining us and a big congratulations. I mean, you've had time to think about it now. What do you make of that win over South Shields?
Well, we're still in dreamland a little bit, as you can imagine. Obviously, being massive underdogs. I think the excitement from the weekend and the euphoria around getting even just a draw at their place in front of a big crowd still hadn't sunk in, but I think it took away a little bit of the fear factor going into Tuesday. And then after matching the performance on the Saturday on the Tuesday, we thoroughly deserved the victory, and they were very gracious in defeat, which made it even more, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It more satisfying that it wasn't just a smash and grab. It was very much well deserved.
I mean, there's a few things to discuss about this result. I mean, there's not met too many teams who are going to keep a clean sheet against South Shields. To keep two clean sheets against South Shields, that's pretty exceptional.
It was. We obviously watched them. You know, I'm very meticulous in the planning of what I try and do, especially if it's a really big game where you're trying to get something out of it, as you would for 3 points. But against a team like South Shields, the history, the, you know, the dominance in their games that they have. We played them 2 years ago in the league and we knew what to expect. The game plan was sort of put together on a training and the lads executed it very, very well. More so that you're not just sitting in and allowing them to play. You know, we were very, very solid in defence and we backed it up with numbers, but also caused them problems on the counter-attack. But, you know, over the two games, in both games, we had the better of the clear-cut chances. So it shows that we weren't even just a, you know, a team of sitting a bank of 10 players in front of my goalkeeper and saying, right, let's try and keep a clean sheet. It was very well done by the team as a whole. The work rate was exceptional. You know, Picton even came out himself and said, we've covered more ground than them in the two games. That gets you results, or it gives you the best chance of getting a result. And, you know, whether we caught them on a bit of an off day, who knows? But we, you know, we did very well, and I was very proud of the players.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they often say if the lower ranked team, when you take it to a replay, that's pretty much the end of the tie, pretty much at that point. So it's not necessarily they've had an off day. They can't have had two off days. So I mean, it's all credit to your squad and the coaching staff for the preparation. But there is the second qualifying round draw, which has taken place. You've got Ossett United in the next round. I know you're going to take each game as it comes and all that, but I mean, what would an FA Cup run mean for Colne at this stage?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, you know, I've always said even to you before, I'm one of these minds that I do look at 4 or 5 games ahead, you know, because that's what you should do. You know, you've got to make sure you've got enough squad to cover those games and what those games mean to the club going forward. And, you know, even though we played Ossett a couple of weeks ago, we had a home win where we won 4-0. People look at that and go, oh, it's an easy tie. It certainly isn't. You know, it was never a 4-0 game. We were very lucky after 20, 30 minutes not to be behind because of the way that Ossett played. And then in the second half, we showed our dominance and went away and was very clinical. And a 4-0 probably papers over some of the cracks that we had in that game. So when you see it, it is a winnable game. We've shown that we can beat Ossett. It's a team at our step. So it's always a winnable game. There's no fear factor there. But we'll treat that game exactly the way that we treated South Shields. We'll respect them how we did with South Shields. And we'll certainly work like we did against them. And if we can match anything like we did against South Shields, you've always got a chance because that's what was successful against them. But yeah, it's a great chance for us to potentially get into the third round qualifying for the first time in the club's history. And that would be another massive milestone for myself because that's what I'm about doing at the club, trying to break as many records as we possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. And you touched upon the league result, and we should mention the league. We obviously had the Step 4 show last week, and we were speaking to some of your what's the word? Your colleagues in Division North and West. I mean, it is pretty remarkable stuff because there's 20 odd teams there. You can make a case for making the playoffs. It's going to be difficult to get out of this league this season.
It is. I think, you know, we've shown over the last 3 years that we've been in this division that we're the most consistent because we've been, you know, in playoffs twice and missed out on the last day with goal difference at South Shields. So that gave me a little bit of extra impetus to go and beat them. but that said, you know, when you look at last year, we've lost, I think, six or seven teams, eight teams. A lot of them were in the lower half of the table. And then the teams that have come in, we've ended up with two teams being relegated from, obviously, the Premier Division in Marine and Workington, two massive clubs of non-league. You then look at Dunstan, very, very strong up from the northeast, league champions. And then you go and get, I think, is it four of the top six of the East Division from last year who were in the playoffs. So the league is very, very competitive. And that's what you want, because whoever wins it this year can actually say, because everybody said it early doors and you've said it yourself, whoever wins this one has won one of the hardest leagues in possibly the country at our step. So, you know, what an achievement that would be. I think even getting into the playoffs, what an achievement that would be. And that's our aim, you know, at the very least, is to try and push for those playoffs again.
And the case in point is your opposition this weekend, Widnes. Obviously, they were beaten 4-0 by Whitby, but that doesn't tell the whole story of that game. Two of the goals very late on in the game, and Widnes were very unlucky by some accounts, yeah. Anyway.
I've seen the highlights of that one, and I think by the chances that Widnes had in the first half, they could have well easily have got into the lead. And even at 2-0 down, they had the better chances, just for maybe the difference in quality. You know, Whitby have done well in their league so far, haven't they, with a great start, and you know, they took their chances, Widnes didn't, and that's what happens. And yeah, the scoreline certainly doesn't allow us to go into the fixture weekend and think, oh well, that we've just beat South Shields, they got beat, so we'll turn Widnes over. It doesn't work like that. It's a tough game. We got beat by Widnes back end of last year, just as we were chasing playoffs, winning 2-1 with 5 minutes to go, and we lost the game 3-2. So you know, we know what they're about, and it's going to be a tough fixture.
Steve Cunningham, manager Cone, speaking to us here on the MPL show. Well, congratulations to Cone. And as we were saying there, they're going to be taking on Ossett United in the next round. Ossett United, a 2-2 draw away at Thornaby. Tom Greaves scored two goals in that opening encounter. In the replay, Tom Greaves got four goals. Ossett United winning 6-0. A great evening's work for Tom Greaves there. Six goals in two matches in the FA Cup. So that's not bad at all. Also going through to the next round, we've got Stafford Rangers. They beat Micklover Sports by 3-0. Pretty much what we said about Buxton, really. It's a result which is could kickstart the season. And what a game in the next round for Stafford Rangers, travelling to Kidderminster Harriers.
That's not a draw that they really want at this moment. But again, chance to prove themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Also going through to the next round of the FA Cup, we've got Marine. And we mentioned Cone's result. This is a pretty good result, in all fairness. Stirling Bridge Celtic 0, Marine 2. Marine's start to the season's been great in the North West Division of Step 4. And we obviously heard from Neil Young last week. They're going to be hosting our very own Dunstan in the second qualifying round. That's because Dunstan, I think their match was taken to a replay, was it? Have I made that up? They won that replay on Wednesday by 5-0, with Kedwin Scott scoring 4 of the goals there. Dunstan safely through. But as we said, great game, that one. Battle of Step 4, Marine hosting Dunstan. Also through to the next round, we've got Stamford. They beat Witham Town by 1-0. Stamford, been known to have good FA Cup runs, certainly in the qualifying rounds. And what a draw this is. They're taking on Boston United in the second qualifying round, James.
Be a little derby for them there straight away. They've got a good squad, Stamford, this year. We'll try and swing it with home advantage there. Zico's starting to become a little bit of a home for him after the last couple of seasons.
Well, also going through, and we mentioned Marine's result and Cone's result. This is pretty special as well. Sutton Coldfield Town, they drew 1-1 with Redditch United of the Central League on Saturday afternoon. And then in the midweek replay, Redditch United 1, Sutton Coldfield Town 3. A great result that for Sutton Coldfield. And on Friday, I caught up with the manager at Sutton Coldfield Town. So welcome back, everybody, to Mr. Neil Toof. So, Neil, a big thank you for joining us, and a big congratulations for that stunning result against Redditch United midweek. I mean, what's your opinion on that game?
Oh, we deserved it. I don't think anyone could have any arguments. We rode our luck a little bit in the first leg at our place, but then we got our tactics spot on for the second leg, and we always knew that even though they went 1-0 up and we got it back, we always thought that if we got in front, that they would open up a little bit more, and that would that would allow us to hit them on the break, which is exactly how it panned out. So, it all worked out really well. But the lads went out and played really well and stepped up to the plate and showed their, what you know what I mean, the potential that we know that they've got and end up getting a great win.
And for those people who aren't followers of the Southern Premier, we should say, you know, Redditch United have had a decent start to the season, you know, currently sitting in ninth, only a couple of points away from the player positions. So, in contrast, though, sort of Coldfield, it's been a slow start, really. I mean, you are a few games behind everyone else, so you can't really take too much into it. But are you hoping this is going to be the springboard now to kick on when it comes to these early stages of the league campaign?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. It sounds daft, but having lost your first four league games, I'm not overly concerned in the fact that we've had to rebuild again, Ben. And you know what I mean? We're only 1 point worse off than we was at this stage last year. You know what I mean? Because we only drew one of our first four games last season, and then we ended up having a run and getting into the playoffs. So I've got the confidence in the lads that we've brought into the football club. That they can turn that form around, and it's been hard because we've had to deal with the fact that last year we recruited for the Southern League. This year we've had to recruit for the Northern League, and even though we've only been out of it a year, you kind of lose track a little bit on the players that are available for the Northern League because we've just had a Southern League focus, and we've been recruiting players from, you know what I mean, south of Birmingham and Coventry and around those areas, and now all of a sudden we've had to change our focus and look more northern. And unfortunately for us, with the teams that we've got around us that are playing in the Midlands division, it's more of an attraction for them because there's less travelling and they're playing in. I mean, they're playing in a lot of local derbies every other week, so it's been a struggle to get the players in. But the players that we have got, I'm fully confident that they'll turn our league form around, and you'll start to see us climbing the table very soon.
I was going to say, I mean, last season in the Southern League, I mean, you had a great season, didn't you? Just finishing, I think, fifth or there or thereabouts, wasn't it?
We lost in the playoff semi-final, yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's to go from that, and then, like you say, this is one of the downsides of the restructure kind of thing. There's that grey area, isn't there? No disrespect to the Midlands, but there's that grey area there where there's teams who can either be looking north or south, and I suppose that's just the downside, really.
Yeah, it is, and because of the success we had last year, seven of my players were picked off, and I think we've lost another one this week. We've lost another one of our players this week that's actually gone and signed for Redditch after they made an approach from after we beat them. So, from the squad that we had last year, we've lost nine players, and all of those nine have moved up a level. So in the work that we did last year, you know what I mean, in recruiting players from the leagues below and locally, unfortunately for us, we're in a position where the Midland League suits a lot of players, where they want to go and play in local derbies, they want to play in front of bigger crowds, and we've just had our best players picked off, really, and that's meant a full rebuild again. But we've done it. It's part and parcel. We always know that because of where we are, we're the most southern in the Northern League, or we're the most northern in the Southern League. And I think it depends on what teams drop into our league, what teams get promoted out of our league. We're always going to be the ones that move across, and it could be the same again next year. And that's something that we just have to deal with. But because of the Midland division, it has been a little bit harder this year, where those clubs know that in there that they can offer, you know, if you're offering a player less travelling and, you know what I mean, playing at a higher level, they're going to take it. It normally works the other way around, where if they move up a level, they've got more travelling. But for us, unfortunately, it's the opposite way around this season.
But not too much travelling for the second qualifying round. You've got to go to Kettering, which is too far away, is it?
not too far away for that one, yeah.
what's your view on that, Ty, there?
We're looking forward to it. I mean, they've only won one game all season. So, you know, although we're going into it massive underdogs and we're going to have a lot of luck on our side, we're going there full of confidence that we can at the very least bring them back to our place and get them back on the 3G. And it's one of those times we've got absolutely nothing to lose. You know what I mean? We go into it. It's very similar. We played Alfreton last year. At the same stage, and we got Alfreton down to our place, and we were unlucky not to get the win in the end. We went 2-0 up, and they scored in the last couple of minutes to take it to a replay, and then at their place they beat us quite easily. But you know yourself, Ben, it's the FA Cup. We always talk about the magic of the FA Cup, and although you see upsets nowadays, I think because they're becoming more and more regular that they're not actually classed as upsets anymore, because you kind of expect one of the teams that are playing to a team two leagues above them to go and win, and why can't it be us? And that's the message that we're getting across to the players. You know what I mean? There's a couple of teams every year that create upsets, and it doesn't matter about league form. It's all about how you're playing in the cup, and our performances in the cup this year have been absolutely spot on. And we've got one scalp from the league above. Why can't we go and get one from two leagues above?
Yeah, absolutely. But there's been a great showing for Step Four clubs. That's for sure in the first qualifying round, and especially sort of Coldfield. But you've got to park the romance and the glamour of the FA Cup now, and get back to the bread and butter. Lincoln United away this weekend. How do you refocus minds to get back onto the league horse?
It's just the message that we've put across this week. We've proved, as I said to the lads after the game on Tuesday night, we've proved that we can go to a team the league above. You know what I mean? A team that are renowned for the good style of play that they have. We've proved that we can go and stand up to that, and we can match that, and we can come out victorious. What we've got to do now is prove we can do it in our bread and butter. We've got to prove that we can go to a place like Lincoln and show the same show the same levels of commitment and effort. And if we do that, I'm sure we can get a win. Lincoln haven't had the best starts, but you know we've had the worst start of all. So they'll be looking at it as an opportunity for them, especially being at home, to turn around their season. But we've got to get some points on the board, and that's the focus. We know where we are in the league. We know we're bottom. As I said to the players, I've never seen any promotion, relegation, any trophies ever presented in the month of September. But you want to get that first win under your belt, and you want to get running and going on a run. And that's what we need to do. And the sooner we get that first win, then I'm sure we'll push on and get a few more to back it up.
Neil Tooth there, manager of Sutton Coldfield Town, speaking to us here on the NPL show. Sutton Coldfield then in the next round of the FA Cup, where they'll be travelling to Kettering Town. So that's going to be a great one, that one, isn't it, for Sutton Coldfield. And a big thanks to Neil for joining us on this week's NPL show. Just to finish off some of the other results in the FA Cup, because we've not got too many results left to talk about. Trafford 3, Bamber Bridge 0. Wow. Another epic result, that one, for the NPL Step 4 sides. Trafford will be hosting Darlington, James, in the next round. That's... wow, Tom Baker there, that's superb, isn't it?
I'm just trying to remember, I think Trafford were the ones that stopped Darlington getting into the playoffs a couple of years ago when they lost, Rami got promoted. So again, I'm not saying there's a bit of blood there.
History, yes.
A bit of history, yeah.
And also going through, Leake Town, they beat Whitchurch Allport by 2-0. So Leake in the next round of the FA Cup, where they'll be travelling to Boston Town. Also through, Whitby Town, they beat Widnes quite comfortably in the end by 4-0, but two of those goals did come in the last 5 minutes. So good effort from Widnes, but Whitby Town safely through. Whitby Town will be travelling to 1874 Northwich of the North West Counties. And finally, for results in the FA Cup from Saturday, Wishbeach Town 1, Hitchin Town 2. So commiserations there to Wishbeach in that game there. But that's all the results from Saturday afternoon and from the first qualifying round of the FA Cup. And a big congratulations to everyone who made it through, and commiserations to those who didn't. We've got Steve Chettle coming on shortly, and we've got Andrew Snaith from Yorkshire Coast Radio coming on the show soon as well for a fixture preview. But James Hayes from the league, a big thank you for joining us. You have a lovely weekend, my friend, and we'll speak to you very soon.
No, it's been, thank you very much.
James Hayes there from the Northern Premier League, speaking to us on Thursday. Now, shortly we're going to be concentrating back on the Northern Premier League Premier Division, as we're going to be joined by Andrew Snaith from Yorkshire Coast Radio for a fixture preview for this weekend's matches back in the league. But some midweek results when it comes to the league. Buxton 1, Bamber Bridge 1. That was Buxton's third draw of the season, taking Buxton up to 3 points now, just outside the relegation places. Grantham Town 1, Michelover Sports 1. Michelover Sports have now moved up to 7th position in the league table, just 3 points outside the playoffs. And Hyde United 2, Nantwich Town 2. Hyde United's great run continues, sees Hyde top of the league table after 7 games. There was also a match on Monday evening, and that finished Basford United 3, Stalybridge Celtic 0, a result which sees Basford United into the playoff positions. And speaking of Basford United, on Friday afternoon, I caught up with the manager at the club. Here's Steve Chettle. So, Steve, a big thank you for joining us, and a big congratulations for that great win on Monday night. What did you make of it?
It was better, shall we say. We've been struggling to create a lot of chances. You know, we won some football matches, obviously, and we've lost a couple where we've really been into them, but Monday night was a lot better, and it was, you know, it was a solid performance, a bit more attacking ability. We had a couple of players back in our fullback position, so it did help us. But no, it was good overall, thanks.
And obviously, you're into the playoffs now. It is early days, admittedly, but I think that's pretty much exactly where everyone at Basford would like the club to be. So, how's the start been versus your own expectations?
We've been inconsistent, to be fair. Our pre-season was put together late, obviously, because I came into the club late, and it wasn't ideal. We didn't get all the games that we wanted, but we started away at Hyde, obviously. We were now top of the league, and it was a strange game anyway, the game at Hyde, but we came on top in that. We got beat at home by Matlock after we conceded a goal when they had one shot on goal, and it's been a bit like that for a few games. Went to Grantham and lost there 1-0. And obviously we beat Radcliffe at home, where we really shouldn't have won. Frank and John were a little bit bemused on how they didn't get a point at least from the game, and I was ecstatic that we won. So we just look for a bit of consistency in the short term, in the next few games, which would be nice.
Now, obviously, let's just say this. You're no stranger to East Midlands football, let's put it that way. So,
no.
Obviously, Basford United, it's been a meteoric rise over previous years. And you know, for you to come in there, I think that goes to show you where Basford United are at the moment. But what was the appeal of the job?
It's a club that I've known since I've been a kid. My first competitive Nottinghamshire Schools game was at Mill Street, which is a site where the club is at now. Obviously, the site's changed a lot. And the chairman's put an unbelievable amount of effort into getting the club to where it is now. You know, and I'm grateful for Martin, who was a manager before and who got 5 promotions in 7 years, which is an unbelievable achievement. But the chairman set out this 4-year plan that we're trying to work towards. We've got our internal goals that we've set out, which obviously promotion is one of those. But it's a club that I've always followed because it's on my doorstep. I literally live 6 minutes from here, from the ground. So it's perfect location-wise, and I've just known the club forever, and it's a club which is going in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And you touched upon the ambition there. I'm not going to get you to divulge your internal targets on this show, but I think it's safe to say that promotion will be on the agenda somewhere in those targets. And but you've come at it at the wrong time, I'm going to suggest, because this division that Basford find themselves in this year is very, very competitive. I mean, what do you make of it?
It's really tough. You know, you look at, you know, trying to get promotion, but you look at the teams that are in the league this year and the ones at the top and the ones that are outside the playoff, and you look at every game and you think, wow, this is going to be a tough game. And there's no easy game. You know, it sounds a bit of a cliche, but we have to prepare for every game as well as we can, and we have to be on top form for all of our games to try and get something from every match that we're playing.
Now, you've got an interesting weekend coming up because you've got a bit of a doubleheader. You've got Bamber Bridge on Saturday, then Witten Albion at home on Monday. How's the squad shaping up heading into these games?
We're okay. We're obviously, my lad got injured during the week against Stalybridge. He's got a bit of a hamstring problem, but we've got Liam Bateman back. We've got Ryan Wilson back. We've got James Reid back. So we've only got one injury problem at the minute, which is obviously my lad who's done his hamstring. But Monday night, the Witten Albion game's chosen. We've now got a League Cup game.
Oh, yes.
So we play Colton Monday night. Then we've got a rearranged fixture the Saturday after. We're going up to Southfield, which is another long trip and another big game.
I do apologise for that. I just noticed the date on the Monday was the 23rd, so that question is defunct, isn't it? But yeah, I'll keep it in because it was a good answer. But anyway, obviously, like we touched upon there, the likes of Hyde United and Warrington and South Shields are all just lurking there. It is going to be a long campaign, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, we try and plan the season into small parts. You know, we can't look right the way to the end of the season at present. So we try and look within six-game blocks that we work to. So, you know, we've got the first six out of the way and we sat in a decent position. We're probably a couple of points short where we'd like to be. But the next six games, again, they're going to be tough fixtures. And we've just got to try and plan and be the best we can for when we're ready for the matches.
But you're enjoying it?
Loving it. Yeah, I'm down there every day with the academy working during the day. So I'm running, I'm heading the football of the academy as well. So we've got 50 kids in every day, as well as their education. So, you know, it's a full-time job, which I really enjoy and which I wanted. Like I say, it's another progression for the football club to keep the Basford United family rocking and rolling.
It's now time for a good old-fashioned fixture preview, and in case you're thinking to yourself, "Ooh, this sounds a bit different," you join us in the MPL Show kitchen. I'm downstairs in my own kitchen, and that's why there's a bit of an echo. But joining me down the other end of the phone, not in my kitchen, although he's more than welcome to come in my kitchen whenever he wants, it's Mr. Andrew Snaith from Yorkshire Coast Radio. Hello, Andrew, how are you?
Evening, Ben. Yeah, very well, thank you. I'd be of no help whatsoever in the kitchen, but I'm more than happy to eat some of the food, etc.
Well, at the moment, I'm cooking some scampi. So that's... it's weird you being on the phone and cooking scampi, isn't it? Indeed. Well, we've just heard from Steve Chattle at Basford United, and Basford United in the playoff positions as we head into this weekend. Also in the playoff positions, hold on to yourselves, everybody. Whitby Town, what's going on?
Yeah, we don't understand it either. It's been a surprisingly good start. As we know, Whitby's normal modus operandi is to be in the bottom three at this point. But yeah, it's been a really, really good start to the season. Just one defeat in six. And we have played a few decent sides so far. We've got a very, very tough one coming up at the weekend, which I'm sure we'll discuss later on. But yeah, it's been a really, really good start to the season. I think there's been one or two quite shrewd signings. Mind you, we've also had six or seven lads out injured, Ben. So, you know, who can predict football? Not I, although I will attempt to on this show.
No, absolutely. And I was going to say, we will plug, obviously, we should really start with it, if I'm being honest. It's Whitby Town against Hyde United. I'm going to start with it. I'm going to break the habit of a lifetime. You can have a plug at the end. But Whitby Town against Hyde United, first against third. This is going to be a cracker, isn't it?
In theory, Ben, yeah. I'm going to milk this for all it's worth. Yeah, Whitby in third, taking on Hyde at top, 2 points behind with the game in hand. What? But yeah, Whitby still unbeaten at home as well. Should be a cracking game. Yeah, Hyde have made a terrific start to the campaign. They were one of the teams that were sort of spoken of in dispatches that they might have a good season, and they've started well. Whitby certainly weren't, and that includes their own supporters. We're a bit surprised. We thought it might be a tough season, a tough campaign. We've seen a lot of the sides sign well, spend money, you know, the usual suspects, certain team down the road. And, you know, it started well for Whitby. I don't know what to put it down to be honest, Ben. I just think they've put a little run together, and it's a side that... I suppose that they're more than the sum of the parts, if you know what I mean. But also, to be fair, to be honest, a big, big reason for the success. We have the league's top scorer, Brad Fuster, leading the line. And I suppose the difference is, in maybe recent seasons, the chances that have been created are being put away.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to suggest, I mean, you're having a little swipe there, if you don't mind me highlighting it, at Scarborough. But you've got Morpeth in the league now as well. They're not, well, they are actually, they're miles away, aren't they? It's 100 miles. But anyway, we mentioned Whitby Town against Hyde United, 26-0 going against Yorkshire Coast Radio. Whitby against Hyde United, it's going to be a cracker. But that's not the only big game taking place this weekend. On Saturday, we've got Matlock Town against South Shields. Blimey, it's second against sixth. Obviously, South Shields, we had Steve Cunningham on earlier from Colne, a big cup upset at the week in midweek. Matlock Town, Steve Kittrick, he started off a bit like Scarborough did last season. They're having a ball there at Causeway Lane. This is going to be a big game.
It certainly is, yeah, absolutely. Matlock, I believe, the only unbeaten side as well in the league so far. Second spot for them. Steve Kittrick, former Scarborough manager, and he's come in. He's signed a few good players from them as well in the summer, have bolstered things at Causewell Lane. And yeah, taking on South Shields, had that shock in midweek. Obviously, they started the campaign, I think, a round earlier. I think that's some rulings with the FA Cup to do with promoted sides. And they've got that game in hand as a result. They've only had one defeat themselves in the league, and they've been very miserly at the back, I've noticed. Just two goals conceded in five games. So that's the bedrock. They're obviously, we've talked about the attacking play they've had last season, but it seems like a sound defence as well is foremost for them. It should be an absolute cracker, Ben. It really should.
It's going to be a spectacular game, that one in Derbyshire, that's for sure. Also in the playoffs, we've got Batesford United currently sitting fourth, as I said earlier. They're travelling to Bamber Bridge. Bamber Bridge, obviously, on Saturday, Tom Baker's Trafford knocking Bamber Bridge out. They've bounced back somewhat midweek against Buxton. What do you think for this one?
They're very Jekyll and Hyde, even within this first month of the season, Bamber Bridge. Poor away from home, but 100% at home. So, you know, maybe home advantage will tell on Saturday. But we didn't expect that result at Trafford. I just want to briefly as well, I'm sorry to steer it back to Whitby Town. I do apologise, but I do need to be very honest. And Whitby, if you will have seen Whitby won 4-0 at Widnes and will have thought, oh, that's gone with Whitby doing well in the league and being a division above. Widnes had a lot of that game. They hit the woodwork twice. Shane Bland made a string of saves, and basically if they could finish, it would have probably been about 4-all. So a bit of a misleading scoreline there, but happy to be through. Sorry I digress, but yeah, that Bamber Bridge, we'll see which Bamber Bridge turns up this weekend.
I'll be honest, that was odd, that. That was basically you highlighting Bamber Bridge got knocked out and Whitby got through. That's basically what that last couple of minutes of radio was all about. yeah.
Not at all, Ben. No. I was just redressing that. But people are going to see that scoreline and think, oh, well, of course Whitby are going to beat them 4-0. They're doing well and they're a division above. Widnes were unlucky. Whitby scored twice in the last couple of minutes. And as somebody who was stood there watching, I was quite nervy and not certain of that win until around 88 minutes, I'll be honest.
Well, we've said it on the Step 4 show, that North West division is going to be manic all season long there, that's for sure. Warrington Town currently finish off the playoff positions, safely through now to the next round after, again, another North West side from Step 4 getting past City of Liverpool, the second ask. This weekend, they're travelling to Radcliffe. Radcliffe playing their fourth game of the season. It's been a bitty start for Radcliffe. It's difficult to assess them, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, these are the difficult shows, the first few months of the season, because the league hasn't really taken any sort of shape as yet. And also, to be fair to Radcliffe, yes, the bottom, but they've only played three league games, so you can't really judge them at such an early stage of the season. They were one of the teams that were sort of tipped on, you know, that they might surprise people where the momentum of promotion, which often helps. But I was told, you know, maybe a little bit of money to be spent. So we'll see. A lot of the teams in that bottom half, you know, they're not going to stay there.
Hey, what about, let's talk about one of those teams in the bottom half, Ashton United. Ashton United travelling to Micklover Sports, who were just outside the playoff positions. John McGrath has he's played a blinder in this opening gambit of the season. Tough game, this one, for Jody Banham's side.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And Ashton, again, I'm sorry to harp on, but yeah, they were one of the teams that were fancied to do well and maybe found it a bit more difficult than they expected. But yeah, credit to Micklova. You know, it's good to see, as a Whitby fan, a few surprise packages up there, and Micklova are one of them, maybe owing a bit to that 100% home record there. But and I think they've made some name signings as well there. They always seem to get a name player. I think it was Clinton Morrison, yep, Season or two back, and they keep signing these big name players. Must have some good contacts there, and full credit to them.
Absolutely. And you mentioned home records. Lancaster City's got a very, very impressive home record at the Giant Axe. They're hosting Grantham Town. After a great start for Grantham, they've gone down into mid-table and it is hashtag early days. We know that. But this one is a battle of the mid-table sides, and Lancaster potentially, if results go a certain way, could be in the playoff positions come 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah, very mixed start from Lancaster, but yeah, they do tend to do well at the Giant Axe, which must be my favourite stadium name. It should be a good one. Grantham, yeah, they did start well and then a little bit of a stutter of late, but he never truly ruled them out. Maybe still going through a little bit of a transitional period there, but they're always awkward.
Can I just highlight something, dear listener at home? The Giant Axe is a great name for the stadium, but I know this, and Andrew Snaith knows this, that the best name ground is the Flamingo Land Stadium, but he just can't bring himself to say it. Anyway, speaking of the Flamingo Land Stadium, Scarborough Athletic will be getting a coach from the Flamingo Land Stadium and heading across the Pennines to take on Nantwich Town on Saturday at the Dabba Dome. Nantwich Town in ninth position. It's been an okay start. It is hashtag early days. For Scarborough, it's been a steady start. I think that's the best way to say it. But they're just not scoring goals, are they, at the moment?
No, they're not. It's one of those things. I'm going to be a breakaway tradition and actually be a little bit more generous to our neighbours. So, having seen them, I think the problem isn't a lack of quality in the team. They have got some very good players, especially the front two, vastly experienced in Walshaw and Coulson. It's a confidence thing from what I've seen, Ben. The lack of goals, it isn't down to a lack of quality. It's just that the belief is lacking a little bit. Just to having seen them, you know, recently, we had our derby with them a couple of weeks back. Scarborough bossed the first half. Whitby were lucky to get to half-time 0-0. Scored early in the second half, and then Scarborough's heads went. The heads dropped. That's the challenge for John Deasy there, to get the heads up. Maybe they'll win in midweek against Mask, who are another decent side, actually, in that Northwest First Division. Might just buoy them on. I do think they're a decent side, but it's a confidence issue. If they get their heads right, they're going to be one of those that you'd expect to push on, but we will see.
I mean, we touched upon it on the monthly show last week, just how big some of the sides are who are down the bottom end of the table. One of the sides at the moment who's down there is Gainsborough Trinity. We had Liam King on earlier. They're travelling to Witton Albion. Difficult game to call, this one, I think.
Yeah, I think they all are at this stage, Ben. It's very tough for us as pundits. Gainsborough looked good in midweek a few weeks back. It was Whitby's second game of the season, and we were beaten 2-0 there, and they had to play quite a bit the second half with 10 men as well. At that stage, I thought, well, Gainsborough, you'd think they're going to do well. They're a decent side, particularly at home. They've got some really good attacking options there. Very, very early days at the moment, and I still think Gainsborough might end up at the business end. Mind you, I thought that last season, and the less said about that for Gainsborough, the better, I guess.
Just a couple more matches to talk about. Stalybridge Celtic taking on Atherton Coles. Atherton Coles, obviously, midweek, being knocked out by FC United, but they've taken to life at step three quite well, I think, safe to say. Stalybridge Celtic, they're going to be wanting to bounce back after being knocked out by Marine.
Yeah, what a strange sort of start to the season. Not that there's any disgrace in getting knocked out by Marine, who've made a good start in the North West Division. They obviously had a big 5-1 win there over Scarborough, and you thought, well, that's one to sort of catch the eye. But for whatever reason, it hasn't sort of led to anything else major happening for them. Maybe just shows that there's it's going to be even more unpredictable than usual in the MPL. But Stalybridge has just showed there. You know, if you're not on your game, you know, they can beat you, and they can beat you heavily.
Yes, and another team who's down the bottom end, who is a bit of a surprise, they're down the bottom end, is Buxton. They're travelling to Morpeth. That's a hell of a journey on a Saturday, isn't it? Morpeth Town hosting Buxton. Given the fact I'm from the M62 corridor, I'm going to have to ask you this question. As someone from the northeast, that neck of the woods, and how do you feel, Andrew, Morpeth Town are settling in? You're speaking now as as the Northeast, just to let you know. Anyway, carry on.
Feeling urged to sort of adopt a bit more of a Geordie accent. Well, it reminds me a little bit of South Shields, actually, talking to the side from the North East. And they didn't start particularly well at all last season, though, obviously. They really pushed on. And I think there is a jump in quality, and Morpeth might just take a few weeks to get to grips with the league. It's a very physical league, and there is a difference in quality from step four. I do think they have the personnel to make a difference. They've got some really, really seriously good players there. You know, like Sean Reid in your midfield. I mean, there's a lot of talent there. And you know, Buxton, again, they're not going to stay in the bottom half. You're talking about two teams who haven't made the greatest of starts, but they're not going to be languishing in the bottom half for very long.
And finally, it's flown by this fixture preview, Stafford Rangers against FC United and Manchester. Stafford, obviously, second bottom currently, not picked up a win so far. FC United, only one win to their name in the league campaign. I don't know how to word this without being biased. It's going to be an interesting afternoon at Marston Road.
Very diplomatically put, Ben.
Thanks.
I'm not going to tell you how to suck it, mate, because you know FC United a little bit more than I do. So you'll be able to better gauge how the summer's gone for you guys. But I think, you know, there was talk of FC United being, again, one of the fancied sides, that they signed some good players. I mean, going on those, I'm presuming you've seen most of those six games. Do you see a change from what was seen last season?
Wait, are you asking me questions? Okay,
I flipped it.
Andrew, I'll field this one. Right, okay, so FC United went into the season following relegation. It's always a difficult step from step two to step three. It's an equally difficult step when you're missing your first three attackers, essentially. You're missing your two main strikers and your playmaker in those opening games. So, you know, as soon as we get a striker in Olabi, we score four goals against Morpeth. So I think we're finding our feet.
Good stuff, Ben. Good stuff.
Thank you. Did I do that well?
I think you did, yeah. It was effortless. It was absolutely effortless.
On that note, that's the end of the fixture preview. My scamp is nearly cooked. So just before we go, just a mention one last time for Whitby Town against Hyde United. Berkey's not going to make that trip. So you, I know there's going to be 26-0 there. But really, Yorkshire Coast Radio is your best bet, isn't it, Andrew?
Indeed. Never mind 26-0. I'll take a 3-0. Yes, Yorkshire Coast Radio Extra will certainly be there. Unfortunately, I won't be part of the team there, but Paul Conley will be there, Liam Ryder and producer Lee as well, for third against first on the Yorkshire Coast. And I do hope that's Whitby Scampi you're cooking there in your kitchen, Ben.
It's Aldi, actually, but I'm sure they got it from somewhere.
Andrew Snaith there from Yorkshire Coast Radio, and that, dear listener, is the end of this week's NPL show. As you can hear, I'm back in the studio, which must be a relief. The Scampi was lovely, thanks for asking. And while I'm thanking people, a big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me, as well as James Hayes early in the show as well. Remember, you can follow this show on Twitter, that's at NPL Show. And wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.